Let me be clear. There is no limit to my ambition for our party and our country. And today I am standing here as your candidate for Prime Minister.
That was Jo Swinson closing her first party conference as leader of the Liberal Democrats. The party is at their most popular since coalition times, and they've had a relatively successful conference. But can they keep up the momentum? This is Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm joined by John Connolly and Katie Bors. John, you are a man on the ground in Bournemouth. What was it like?
I was. Well, everyone was in a strikingly good mood at conference. I think a lot of them compared it to the end of the coalition years when basically no one was attending, after the coalition years, I should say, when they weren't in government anymore, no one was bothering to attend their conferences, membership was low. And then they compared it to now where the main auditorium was packed to the rafters on some of the main Brexit votes this week, and all the media people who had come down to pay attention to them. And it was, fair to say the Lib Dems have probably not been in a better mood for a long time.
Katie, I mean, the biggest thing to come out of this conference is their policy of revocation of Article 50. How has that gone down in conference? They voted for it with an overwhelming majority.
Well, I think it was interesting in Jo Swinson's leader speech, which is always the pinnacle and the set piece of a party conference today, that she tried to move past just the policy to revoke Article 50. So clearly that has got the most, in terms of column inches, the most press attention, and it has been heavily criticised by some who say it is undemocratic, this idea that you would just revoke Article 50, stop Brexit at a referendum. The comeback from the Lib Dem side is they're saying they would only do this as a majority government.
Yeah.
So in effect, a general election would be a proxy second referendum. But we saw today that Jo Swinson did talk about her party being the party to stop Brexit, but she tried to also flesh out some of the domestic policy things the Liberal Democrats could do. Now, I don't think many people in that hall, despite a few vox pops after suggesting they did believe Jo Swinson to be the next Prime Minister, really do think this is a party that's about to take even 200 seats. And that's well short of a majority, but that's what Chuka Aminna, one of the new Lib Dem MPs, I think his third party this year, suggested that they would be aiming for. But there is a question as to what they all have in common now that you have Sam Gyimah, Chuka Aminna, Labour and Conservative MPs who have joined that party. And we saw Jo Swinson focus on the environment quite heavily, pitching her party as someone who would actually take this seriously. She promised a citizens' rights assembly looking at how you would get to net zero carbon emissions. I think that this is in part because it clearly takes decisions that everyone has to take, which would affect your daily lives. So you get other people to make those difficult decisions for you. But also from that, she talked about tackling knife crime. I don't think there is anything in it in terms of domestic policy was particularly controversial in terms of the topic areas. So there's still the question about how they all come together. But you did see her trying to not just talk about Brexit. Still think the main takeaways from her speech, which was capping off the whole conference, is that she says she believes she can be Prime Minister, which shows that she doesn't want to enter into discussions in a general election campaign about propping up Jeremy Corbyn or propping up Boris Johnson, and that she wants to clearly establish her party as the party to stop Brexit. And I think that for all the criticism the revoke has got as a policy, it has meant that the Liberal Democrats are established as the party which is the most committed to stopping Brexit.
And it's worth adding as well, I think, that all the members I spoke to, virtually all the members I spoke to at Lib Dem conference, are massively behind this Article 50 revocation pledge. It's incredibly popular. I mean, it's quite helpful at Liberal Democrat conference because they vote on all policy measures with a show of hands in the main auditorium. So you can sort of see the general mood of the party on certain topics. And, when it came to that main Brexit vote, I'd say somewhere between around 98% of people were in favour of that. I think for a lot of them, there is the sort of recognition that it's probably not never going to be enacted, as you say, apart from the positive statements about them winning the next election. Because the policy literally says, we will only revoke Article 50 if we do win a majority in the next election, and if not, we'll focus on the people's vote instead. But I think campaigners are sort of aware of that, or activists and members are aware of that. But they do really appreciate having a very simple message on the doorstep, because at the end of the day, they're the ones who are going to be knocking on doors, handing out flyers, and having to explain their Brexit policy to a confused population. And for them, they're happiest with it. It's just a natural evolution of the stop or bollocks to Brexit policy they had in the European elections, and kind of makes sense for them in that way.
Yeah, Katie, do you think there are any potential risks with this strategy? You had people like Simon Hughes and Neil Hodgson, long-term Lib Dems councillors and former MPs who criticised this revocation policy, saying that it's too extreme in the other direction. Are they representative of Liberal Democrat supporters across the country?
Well, I think Norman Lamb has also criticised it, but ultimately we have seen a shift. Just as the Conservative Party is shifting to be a party of Leave, the Liberal Democrats are shifting to try and be the party of Remain. And they spent some time trying to establish themselves as that. There was a point not that long ago that we were on this podcast talking about how the Liberal Democrats seemed destined for extinction. Change UK launched and it got lots of positive media reception at first because it seemed as though it was filling that centre party place for a pro-EU party, unashamedly pro-EU. I think that now the Liberal Democrats have moved into that spot. Although there will be some losses along the way, I don't think any decision is unanimously pleasing. I think that it is where the party feels it needs to be, and it's where the party thinks it will gain the most seats. I think that if you look at the voters, it might turn away. Ultimately, the Liberal Democrats are not one of the two main parties. I personally don't think this policy is going to make them one of the two main parties, no matter what they might say on stage. But what it is going to do is bring over, I think, some voters. Will it turn some voters off? I think what probably gives them a little bit of a, I suppose, wriggle room is the sense that because people don't actually think the Liberal Democrats are going to get a majority, I think that if you're really fed up of Brexit, you could vote for the Lib Dems without thinking they're actually going to revoke Article 50, but knowing there is going to be a voice in Parliament to either soften the Brexit position of a party like Labour or to vote against what the Conservatives are doing. So I think that in that sense, people will be able to make up their own mind on it. Yeah. And in terms of the voters they're looking for, I think the other thing that was really interesting about Jo Swinson's speech and the general message is we speak a lot about well, the voting axis has changed. So from left to right, and the Tories seem to see it from Leave and Remain. I think Liberal Democrats do touch on that, but you heard a lot of open and closed. So I think they see it as in, do you see society as open and liberal, or do you see it as closed and Little England? Now, lots of people would disagree with that latter categorisation, but you can definitely see in Jo Swinson's mind that it's not just Leave and Remain as so much as pitching Remain as this open, outward-looking vision of Britain. I think that someone like Boris Johnson sees Brexit Britain as open and outward-looking. But you can see in the things that Jo Swinson is saying, she's trying to depict the Leave option as narrow-minded and people like Boris Johnson as populists. And I think that, that was really quite clear that that's how she plans to do it.
Interesting. John, it wasn't all smooth sailing at conference. I mean, Jo Swinson was heckled at one point when she was explaining why Philip Lee, former Tory MP, has now joined the Liberal Democrats. Has there been a lot of tension about the new entrance to the party?
Well, it's been quite interesting that because, to remind listeners, Philip Lee's appointment, defection to the Liberal Democrats was quite controversial because, you know, a few years ago he abstained on a vote for same-sex marriage and he'd said that he believes certain migrants should be tested for HIV when they come into the country. So when his defection was announced, there were some LGBT members of the Liberal Democrats who were very upset about this. Some of them actually quit their positions. And that really seemed to sort of boil over in the first day of conference. You know, you had a very emotional and pointed speech against Lee's appointment from a gay member of the audience. And then, like you say, there was some heckling a bit late on the Sunday for Jo Swinson. That said, I think it's probably easy to overestimate how much the party is upset with Lee's joining. It was worth noting after the heckling, for example, that the debate moderator asked for the person to stop heckling, essentially. And, you know, that was met by loud cheers in the auditorium. I spoke to a lot of Lib Dem members about this, and it was quite interesting how few of them were genuinely upset about this, and this included LGBT members that I spoke to, and some of them had actually met with Lee and been slightly convinced by his own arguments on same-sex marriage about it being, you know, a difference between marriage and the state and that kind of thing. So probably members are not quite as upset as I first thought. I guess it is a sign, though, in general, about how much more of a Remain party the Liberal Democrats are being, in that they sort of are willing to compromise even around, you know, one half of their name about letting slightly, as some people would call it, illiberal members to join them. But yeah, it shouldn't be overstated at this. It's not a massive departure from the party as well, you have to remember. I mean, in 2017, they had a leader in Tim Farron who also had, you know, views on homosexuality that were personal rather than political. And he managed to be leader of the party. So it's not a massive departure for the party to allow Lee in.
Katie, I mean, the Liberal Democrats are seeing such a revival in their popularity at the moment. Do you think there are risks of growing pains as well? We saw Kirsten Johnson, one of their MP candidates, over the weekend, give a pretty disastrous interview about why she thought Brexit was happening, saying that in North Devon, over 98% of people there are white, and that's suggesting that's probably why Leave won. I mean, do you think they need to better vet their candidates as a growing party?
I mean, potentially, but at the same time, I don't think it's a party specific to it being a smaller party suddenly getting more attention. There are plenty of disastrous candidates in the Labour Party. The Conservative Party has had its fair share of interview disasters. I think there is something in the fact that the Liberal Democrats are coming under greater scrutiny, partly because it's their conference week, partly because they are becoming more relevant as they rise in the polls since European elections. And I do think there are points this week when Jo Swinson seemed to struggle with the questions she got in various interviews and the level of criticism she received in those over various policies. So, for example, when she was asked how it is compatible to have an Article 50 revoke policy, but also saying that you wouldn't allow a second independence referendum in Scotland, even if the Scottish Parliament had a majority voting for it. Now, I don't think personally she adequately explained that, but there were times when I think she almost seemed slightly taken by surprise at levels. So I think that might be something in going from a party that's had less attention to the current one. But I do think, looking around, there's no political party that's really working in a perfect manner right now. Ultimately, the challenge for Jo Swinson is whether she can transfer this momentum, which the party currently has, into seats in a general election. And we're hearing very wide estimates, this idea of 200 seats. What is a good result for them, I think, is an interesting question for them. And some have said, actually, if they got around 60 seats, that would be good.
Yeah. Do you think expectation management might be something they should look into?
Well, I think one of the things is they want to basically give people hope, and they want to avoid the question at all times of, is Jo Swinson just going to prop up Jeremy Corbyn? She said she's not. But as soon as you accept the premise that you are going to get a smaller number of seats, you enter into this difficult situation of any smaller party. So I think they've obviously chosen the option of trying to avoid those questions. But looking at the seats they're aiming at, I think it's interesting to see how far they can go, because you don't have to get too far down the top 100 target seats, and they're claiming 200, to get to some really quite heavy majorities, which I think will be quite difficult to overturn.
Katie and John, thanks very much. And you can subscribe to this podcast, Coffee House Shots, through all the usual routes, and do let us know what you think. And if you'd like to hear more from Jo Swinson, Katie actually interviewed her for her Women with Balls podcast earlier this year. So to listen to that, just go to spectator.co.uk/balls. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow.